Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Blog Talk Radio and the Voice of Change, Healing Our Planet. It is just a delight to be with you today, and we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. I can't believe that is happening, 40 years. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, host of The Voice of Change, and today I'm going to have Rebecca Valentine with me, Jessica Jones, and Melissa Weaver. The program, The Voice of Change, Healing Our Planet, is a monthly program. It is designed to let you know about what is taking place on the planet with people and activities that are going on right now. There is so much going on that is really changing the world. And today we have three amazing people with us. First of all, Rebecca Valentine, she is an eco-geek, she calls herself, from Santa Rosa, California. She is a program director of HOWIE, the Green Idea House, a green building demonstration and training center being developed in Sonoma County. We're going to talk about green buildings today. She is also a member of the U.S. Green Building Council and has been a consultant for Longview Education, a green building education firm. Rebecca is actively creating her alter ego, the Carbon Confessor, to offer to guilt-ridden offenders, carbon offenders, a kind and generous persona to whom they can confess their carbon footprint. And actually, I did this with Rebecca this week, talking about composting, the fact that I'm not doing it in my new home. It makes me very sad, so I'm looking into how to change that around. Also, we have Jessica Jones with us, and she is a student at Santa Rosa Junior College and does some wonderful work with sustainability, and she's also going to reflect on many past Earth Days. And then we have Melissa Weaver calling in shortly after we begin, and she is the environmental health consultant and educator. She is the CEO of Enhanced Health Systems and Solutions for Sustainability, Sustainable Health, and she travels all around talking about cell phones, the towers, etc. And we have a fabulous, fabulous guest today. We are honored with actually the call. We're having a call in from Mother Earth herself. I mean, this, what can be greater than to actually talk to the mother herself? So that's going to happen today too. So I'm just delighted to be with you for this wonderful hour. And Rebecca, thank you for saying yes to doing this program.
Oh, hey, no problem. It's a big celebration.
It is so, a huge celebration. I can't believe it's been 40 years.
Yeah, well, I think we better all just imagine in our little creative minds, you know, a big Earth Day cake.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
With lots of wonderful non-toxic candles on it. And we all just have to, you know, help Mother Earth blow out all those candles. Although I'm sure she could probably blow them out by herself.
She probably could. But yes, a wonderful cake. I can just see healthy, organic fruits and vegetables coming out from it. Oh,
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we got to have some songs. Happy Earth Day,
Happy Earth Day.
We love you. Yeah, so.
Oh, this
you
is
have a,
fantastic.
You have a full show.
We have a full show today. We have a full show, and it really all started because you said yes. I did a show by myself a couple months ago, and I'm so passionate about this, but I don't have all the details, all the activities,
mm-hmm.
and you are a person that I can just pick up the phone, and I hear the latest of what's happening. So it's always great to talk with you. No one else is on the line yet.
Okay.
Melissa's not calling in. So what would you like to start with on our Mother's Day, our Mother Earth celebration?
Well, you know, if you want, since this is the 40th, I had told you that in this magazine called Common Ground,
yes,
the free magazine, they had a lot of articles this month in April around Earth Day and honoring and celebrating Earth. And,
oh, that's wonderful.
And there's an interesting little column or a little list of sort of recommendations that San Francisco activists were, environmental activists were making in 1969. And I thought I could go through and read some of these before Melissa calls in.
That would be fabulous. 1969, this list came out of recommendations.
Yeah, so here we go.
Wow.
This is for Earth Care. Move thoughtfully and protect the web of life that surrounds our globe and is our life support system.
Beautiful.
Know that the air and water that circulates around the planet circulates through us. Check your job out and see if it aids life more than it destroys.
Check your, what did you say?
Your job.
Your job. Oh, yes.
Check your job out and see if it aids life more than it destroys. Study advertisements and reject products that waste or pollute. Share cars, newspapers, whatever you can. Recycle paper, metals, glass, plastics. Repair and give away what you no longer need. Love a little. Conserve, insulate your home. Build for good ventilation. Use your hands. Learn how a person treats the earth before you vote for him or her. Rejoice in human energy. Use your legs. Grow some food of your own. Inherit the earth. It belongs to each of us. Its health, wealth, beauty is our health, wealth, and beauty.
Oh, wow. Those are amazing. You know what? If you would send those to me, I will put them up on the website.
Okay.
Oh, I just love those. That is amazing, amazing. We're going to talk more about those, but I do see Melissa is on the line, so I'm going to put her on the line right now, and then we will get back to those 10 ways that was were actually put out there 40 years ago. So welcome, Melissa.
Thank you, Sharon.
It is
very good timing.
Yes, it was just such a delight. I've told folks that you are an environmental health consultant and educator and enhanced health systems. The CEO. And we also have Rebecca Valentine on the line, and she's up there in your area, and you probably know each other. She is the director of the Howie Green Idea House, and is also a member of the U.S. Green Building Council. So you ladies probably know each other.
Oh, great. I don't know if we do, but I'm sure we'll meet soon.
I'm sure we will, too.
Hi, Rebecca.
You will, too.
Hey, happy almost Earth Day to you.
Thank you. The same to you.
So, Melissa, would you just share with us, I know you can only be with us, we do actually have a special call at 5:15. Mother Earth herself is calling in.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I know. It's just a really
special thing. That takes precedence.
But we want to hear from you. And I know you are just so involved with smart meters and also the cell phones. Can you just give us kind of a overview of what's happening and why these things are so dangerous?
Mm-hmm. And I want to invite people to our community forum this Wednesday.
Yes.
A quick overview is that PG&E is taking $2.2 billion dollars of the taxpayers' money and some of the government stimulus money, and they decided to put smart meters on everybody's two wireless antennas and everyone's electric meter and another antenna on the gas meters without people's consent. And it's all in the name of saving energy and global warming and so forth, but when we look further into the issue, we see that it's more in the name of PG&E raking in a lot of dollars when we look at it, because they're wanting to control our energy usage with these smart meters. First of all, it's a wireless antenna. It's a wireless antenna. And there's all kinds of problems that are happening with them in different places where they've been installed around the country. And Bakersfield was the first community where they were deployed earlier this summer. And people's bills doubled and tripled. There was interference. People's wireless devices were being interfered with. People's, you know, ceiling fans are going on and off all night long because they pretty much monopolized the whole 900 megahertz band. There were 15 fires. 15 of them exploded, and they caused some fires in the first 2 weeks in Bakersfield. And there's several people who are electric sensitive that are becoming sick. Yeah. A lot of people are sick, and they don't even they find out later that it's because of the smart meter. And,
exactly, they don't really realize what is causing it.
Mm-hmm. So,
on PG&E side, what are these for? What are they going to do? Supposedly,
well, they're wanting to control people's energy usage. What PG&E is saying that they don't have enough energy during peak time, peak usage between 2 and 6 o'clock, and they don't want to build more power plants. So therefore, they want to install these meters so we can run around our house. The idea is that we're going to buy these little devices to hook onto all our appliances so we can monitor our energy usage inside the home.
Oh, we're going to purchase them for all the appliances.
Either purchase a new appliance that has, you know, the new device on it, or purchase new devices, you know, so we can. I don't really believe people are going to run around their house, you know, looking at their little meters on their appliances. I think it would have been a wiser decision to just educate people not to use, you know, dishwashers and washing machines during 2 to 6 o'clock.
Of course. So they've already put the smart meters on in some areas?
In some areas. And the old meters, one of the issues is that the old meters work perfectly fine. So there are a lot of people are concerned about old meters in landfills. There's some reports they're saying they're being shipped over to Asia to be used over there. but there's an issue with taking a meter off that works, you know, totally fine, and installing, you know, something else that's having all kinds of problems.
Of course. So up there in Northern California, what stage is this process in?
Well, that's a really good question, because our EMS safety network has been doing a lot of work and educating the city councils and the county supervisors about the issues with these meters. And
education is the key, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And we've been very persistent going to council meetings around Northern California, and the city of Sebastopol and the city of Cotati wrote a letter to the CPUC requesting a moratorium on the smart meters. And Efren Carrillo, the 5th District Supervisor,
yes.
Supervisor Carrillo, excuse me, he also wrote a letter requesting a moratorium on the smart meters until we get answers, until we can be sure that they're accurate, that people are going to be billed correctly, that there's no interference, that there won't be fires, and there won't be health effects. So there's too many issues, and it's being written up in newspapers all over the country right now.
Yeah.
North Virginia halted their deployment because of the same issues. I wanted to mention earlier with the replacing, you know, the meters and so forth, ARP, you know, the insurance
yes.
company for seniors.
Right.
They did a cost analysis study, and they found out that one of the reasons that PG&E was decided to do this is because the old meters were amortized for the depreciation over time,
mm-hmm.
and the time was up on those. And with these smart meters,
well, that's convenient.
PG&E can do one-time write-offs. So
mm-hmm.
we're paying for the meters, and they can write them off.
Yes.
So when they did the full cost analysis, we're not saving any money with these meters. In fact, people with the bills being doubled and tripled, there's all kinds of problems going on. But people, there is something that people can do. They can call, if people that live north of the Golden Gate Bridge can call Craig Kennedy. He's in charge of PG&E Consumer Complaints. And his number is, let me make sure, I'm going to flip that. I believe
sure,
it's 577.
And this is people who live north of the Golden Gate Bridge.
North of the Golden Gate Bridge can call
right.
707-577. I believe it's 7097, but I should have had that number up for you.
Well, you know what? We can always do a
blog.
Here it is,
577-7097 is the number to call.
Exactly.
And you can tell them that you're electrosensitive. You can tell them that you're concerned about billing, that you want to make sure they're field tested. In fact, the Commissioner Peavy of the CPUC announced to the state legislature just about a week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, that all of these should have been field tested. He's requesting that we stop
should.
The deployment and that they're field tested for a year side by side with the old meters and make
of
sure
course.
That they're going to work for us.
You know, anything that takes place, anything new, they need to do the testing on it to make sure that we are not creating more problems. It just makes perfect sense.
Yes.
This is Rebecca. I wanted to make sure that people are listening know what EMFs mean are, and if you have a resource that you know of that people can go to learn more about EMFs.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. EMF stands for electromagnetic field, and people can go to EMFSafetyNetwork.org and learn everything they want to know about that. Sandy Maurer, who founded the EMF Safety Network, she put this website together, and it's very, very comprehensive. There's a tab that you can click on smart meters. And what we would love you to do is to go onto the website, EMFSafetyNetwork.org, and sign the petition asking for a moratorium on smart meters. And there's also letters that you can send to the CPUC on the website requesting a moratorium.
That's great.
Are the two actions that people can take to take care of themselves and protect themselves, because many, many people sleep on the other, you know, on the other side of the wall where a meter is being installed. There's a friend of mine who has, he's in an apartment complex, so he has five of these meters on the other side of his bed, you know, the wall on the outside wall. And the problem is PG&E is they've only tested the energy output from the RF output from one meter, and it's a grand experiment when they're all hooked up to each other. It's called a mesh network. Each antenna is communicating with thousands of other antennas in the neighborhood, and so what they're telling us that it's only, you know, infrequent readings, you know, just you know, once an hour. Mm-hmm. They're not really clear.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
we read different things at different times, but when the network is hooked up, there's energy spikes happening all day long, and they're very, very high, and they're way over the recommended limit, which is the Bioinitiative Report is a study of over 2,000 peer-reviewed research studies that was published when was that, June of 2007, and most of the rest of the world is acknowledging the newer, lower safety standards of the Bioinitiative Report. And these EMF spikes from the network are way, way, hundreds and hundreds of times higher than that.
And there's also something else related to solar energy installations. I have heard there's some controversy that there might be really funky readings, and it might be interfering. If people have solar energy installed on their houses, these meters are really doing some, you know, incorrect.
I can't really speak to that directly. I have read about that where when PG&E was giving people the rebates, all of a sudden it's turned around in the other direction. But
yeah.
I can't really speak to that directly.
Well, there's somebody, and again, this is more a Northern California contact, but I guess if people are listening from other places and really want to know more about this, particularly with solar energy, Harmony Farm Supply in Sebastopol has really been trying to be proactive for their customers. They are a really wonderful, sustainable farming garden supply center that also happens to be really doing great stuff with solar energy installations,
mm-hmm.
and they sell equipment. And Tom Danaher at Harmony Farm has been calling PG&E and trying to get answers. So not that I want people to bombard Tom Danaher, but, you know, if they reach out to him, he's very friendly, and he would give people the latest information on what he's finding out.
And people can get that information. The reason why I really wanted to be on your show, Sharon, was because this Wednesday, April 21st,
yes,
the Efren Carrillo and the County of Sonoma is hosting a smart meter forum.
Mm,
and
okay,
we're wanting hundreds of people to show up. It's going to be Mindy Spatt from the Utility Reform Network and Lena Berman, excuse me, and Jeffrey Fawcett, Ph.D., from Your Health and Fitness, the KPFA radio show.
Wonderful.
They're going to be debating with, I'm trying to think of her name, Lika Kaifitz, PhD from PG&E. And I don't know who's going to be representing the CPUC, but it's going to be a panel discussion, and then members from the community are going to have a chance to speak. So each person can have 2 minutes to speak. So that's at the Sebastopol Vets Building this Wednesday, the 21st, from 5:30 to 7:30. And we're really wanting people to attend, so do what you can to change your schedule around, get off work early, and get over to the Sebastopol Vets Building in Sebastopol, and their address, if you're not aware where that aware of the location, is 282 High Street in Sebastopol, and the zip code is 95472.
Excellent, excellent. Well,
because
that
this is a, you know, this is an issue, Melissa and Sharon, that's not just, you know, site-specific to Sebastopol. I mean, this is in any territory. This is millions of people in the state of California that can be impacted and have their health and their energy bills, you know, seriously impacted by this. So if people live, you know, a county or two away, come on over, have dinner in Sebastopol, carpool with some friends, and come hear this information.
Exactly. Thank you, Rebecca.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, for those of us in Southern California and even in other states who are listening, and we do, we have listeners from all around the world on the program. So these people, you know, this is an awareness for them of what is taking place in the U.S. and in different areas with PG&E. And it can kind of be a forewarning to other people to know what to do when it comes to their area and perhaps they, you know, take some proaction.
And there's on our website, emssafetynetwork.org, there's petitions for Santa Cruz County, Alameda County, Sonoma County, and I believe San Francisco. And if you want to learn how to make your own petition, you can contact one of us.
Very good. And that's emssafetynetwork.org.
Thank you. And then April 21st, Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Sebastopol Vets, the Smart Meter Community Public Forum hosted by the County of Sonoma and Efren Carrillo. Looking forward to seeing all of you there.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you for doing this, Melissa, on such short notice. And, you know, May 15th is the next program, the monthly program, and if you could come in and talk about the cell phones and the cell devices and the towers, it would be wonderful.
Oh, I'd love to do that. I need to double-check my schedule. I'll be down in Santa Cruz. For those of you listeners that are in Santa Cruz County, I'll be giving a talk called The Truth is Out on Wireless Devices, Cell Phones and Cell Towers, on May 13th at 7 o'clock. And look at your local papers. They're advertising in the local, I think it's the Connections paper. I don't really know where the venue is. But so if I'm back in town, I'm happy to do that.
Oh, excellent.
We'll connect over the email.
Right,
that.
And any time, you know, you even want to, as we've talked before, when your schedule allows it, to come on for an hour and talk about cell phones, because I just think it's just so important that people know the information and the statistics that are out there.
Yeah, go to the website, emssafetynetwork.org.
Excellent.
And it's a very easy-to-navigate website, and people will learn all kinds of things.
Wonderful. So. Would you like to give your website out too, or is the EMF
that one's sufficient for right now? If people want
perfect.
To contact me, they can email me at melissa@emssafetynetwork.org.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sharon, and good to meet you, Rebecca.
Yeah, Melissa, we'll be in touch. I'm going to make it to the event on Wednesday, so I will. It's probably going to be too.
Okay, we'll have a table. There'll be a booth out front.
Oh, good.
So.
Great.
So introduce yourself.
Okay, perfect.
Thank
Fabulous.
You so much.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was wonderful. Again, that was Melissa Weaver, and the website she spoke about for information is emssafetynetwork.org. Oh, fabulous, fabulous.
So have you had any calls in? I'm sorry, Sharon, I know that Mother Earth is making her rounds today.
I don't see Mother Earth on the switchboard yet.
Okay, all right.
So I am looking for her, and we'll definitely let you know when we hear from her. She might have been detained for a moment, but, you know, you do a lot with the Howie, the Green
yes.
Idea House. Can you
yep.
speak about that, or
sure.
is there another aspect of your work you'd like to start with, Rebecca?
Well, since I am a member of the U.S. Green Building Council, and
yes.
it's a pretty amazing national organization that's doing just really fabulous work in, I think, maybe all the states, and it's definitely in California, it's a pretty active membership. I was fortunate enough to take a 12-month green building education class at Sonoma State.
Did you? Oh, how wonderful.
A couple years back, and the two of the co-teachers of that class have now gone on to have their own certificate program through the U.S. Green Building Council, and these are two guys that I help with Longview Education. So, you know, I'm involved, and about a year ago, I heard about a house that was in city of South San Francisco called the Green X-Ray House. And
the Green X-Ray?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually went down to city of South San Francisco and met with their community development coordinator and got to go see this house. And basically, they took an old, funky 1950s, 1960s house
mm-hmm.
and have done a green retrofit on it.
Oh, my.
And
wow.
They have a see-through wall, so you can see different kinds of insulation.
See-through wall?
Yeah, I mean, just one little see-through wall so you can see different kinds of insulation.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
And they've done some really nice upgrades with the plumbing, so low water fixtures, new Energy Star appliances, a solar electric system on the roof. So I just thought, you know what, if the city of South San Francisco can do this, certainly we can do this in Sonoma County. So
yes.
I have been working for a year developing this idea and this concept, and I have a wonderful general contractor and an architect and also a landscape designer. There's the four of us that are on the steering committee for this project called Howie the Green Idea House.
This is fantastic.
And we've been working with a really wonderful nonprofit. Community Action Partnership of Sonoma County is our nonprofit fiscal sponsor. And we are trying to move this forward. We're in conversation with the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, which offers funding to folks that want to do a green rehab and then later on sell it as affordable housing.
Oh, wow.
And Melissa mentioned Supervisor Efren Carrillo, and he is someone who has also been very supportive and really a wonderful resource for us, and he supports the Howie House. He's one of our county supervisors. Supervisor Shirley Zane has been really wonderful. Anyway, you know, so we're moving forward. We're really wanting to show people what can you do from the real high-end, high-tech, fun stuff to things that you could do it yourself, the DIY crowd. You know, everything from weather stripping to solar hot water to low VOC, which stands for volatile organic compounds, low VOC paint, and really give people information about site. And how about the landscape too? How about turning your yard into an urban garden?
Yeah.
And there's so many things that can be done, and people
yeah.
love to go and do the, you know, show me. They like to, they want to see it.
They need to see it. They really do need to see
yeah.
it, because we are not, you know, informed that much, and there's not that much around. So we really need to see it to see the possibilities. So this
yeah.
is just fabulous.
Yeah. And what's also something I wanted to mention in relation to Earth Day and
yes.
buildings is that and I can send you maybe this link to the U.S.
Sure.
Green Building Council has a green building facts. It's about a 4-page little list of different green building facts. And one thing is really amazing to me is that people in the U.S. spend approximately 90% of their time in buildings.
Wow.
And I urge people during this week of Earth Day and Earth Week, you know, Earth Month,
yes.
to try to change that. Go outside. And, in fact, I am talking to you from outside. I'm staring at plants as we speak. I really want to urge people to not be yeah. in buildings for 90% of their time.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And it's just so wonderful to be outside. I was telling you that I had been outside about 3 hours prior to the call. And it is just so wonderful to be out in nature. In fact,
yep.
I was gardening. And it's just wonderful. So I totally support that.
So I want to just give a couple of green building facts for people to think about. And these
oh,
are,
excellent.
These are some...
And I just want to let you know that I do believe that we have Mother
oh.
Earth awaiting.
Oh.
So do you want to give one or two facts and we'll go to Mother Earth, or do you want to take a break right
I think
now?
I think we should probably let Mother Earth have a say here and wish her a big happy Earth Day birthday.
Okay, excellent. I have two numbers, a private call. We actually have two numbers here, so I don't know if I need to put both of them online.
Well, it might be both Jessica and Mother Earth. Right?
Oh, that's right. It could be definitely Jessica and Mother Earth. Exactly. You are so right. So let me see here. I do know Jessica's number.
Okay.
So, yes, that is exactly it. Thank you for reminding me. So we're going to take Mother Earth first, and then we'll take Jessica. Okay.
Hello?
Hello
there?
Hello, this is Mother Earth.
Mother Earth!
I have to say, I'm sick and tired of cleaning up after you kids. I don't have much time to do anything because I spend all my time cleaning up after your messes. So here's the drill.
It does keep you busy, I bet, cleaning up after the messes, doesn't it?
Damn straight. So here's the drill. I need you all to do more with less. And what I mean by less is less wars. We're starting right now. I know you may think that's difficult, but here's what you do. You just stop doing anything. Sit down. General strike-like thing until they stop these stupid wars. You got it?
Wow.
Okay, I gotta go.
I hear you.
Lovely
so
talking to
sit
you.
Sit down.
Take it easy. Ciao, ciao.
To sit down and just take it easy, you know, that is something that we really do because there's so much coming in to us.
Wow, she sounded a little bit like Julia Child to me. Didn't she sound kind of like Mother Earth as Julia Child? Maybe they know each other.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Well, I like her. I like her advice. You know, I mean, just sit down, and preferably sit down in someplace out in Mother Earth to talk with Mother Nature. And I don't think Mother Nature and Mother Earth are the same, beings, but they probably know each other as well.
They probably do. They're probably in close harmony there. They really are. But, you know, reflecting on taking it easy, I shared earlier on another program that I have been limiting all of my emails. I used to get basically 25 to 30 a day, and I spent the last 3 weeks stopping them and not letting them come into my inbox, and really, really, it has been fabulous because I have less input. And so it really slows down what I'm doing, and it gives me more time. So, you know, we don't take enough time just to sit down, because if we do, other ideas would come to us and we could become more aware of Mother Nature and Mother Earth.
Yep, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know she was busy, so she didn't have too much time for us. But, you know,
she is busy because she is having to clean up so much. I hear that. Yeah, exactly.
So do we have Jessica?
We do have Jessica. So I'm going to put her on the line right now. Jessica Jones is with us. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, thank you.
Oh, it's delightful to have you. I'm Sharon, and Rebecca is on the line, too. I'm so glad Rebecca contacted you.
Oh, I'm so happy and so pleased to be invited. Thank you both.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
I know I'll meet you soon.
Yes.
I was telling Sharon about one of the upcoming events I know you're involved in, although you may have other things you want to talk about, but I did mention the overnight event that Councilwoman Jacoby is doing that you're helping with.
Right. And then,
can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So it's the 35-hour Earth Day, huge party, and it's going to be a forum and a party, and we call it the Save and Saver for Community. And so it's April 24th at 8:30 to 12 to noon, is the first ever high school green team convention. And so we've partnered up with Alliance for Climate Education and the Climate Campaign to set up this convention for high school students all around the North Bay who either at their schools have a green team, an environmental club, or are thinking of starting one. And so this time with them will be spent on teaching them leadership skills, how to, work and organize a project, what other schools have done. So they're going to share with each other. Like one school has started a huge recycling program. Another has a whole a composting program set in place. So they're going to share and show their experiences to each other and also talk about the difficulties. What have they come, what's the hardest thing that they're coming across as high school students.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is just amazing. How many people do you expect to be there, Jessica?
Right now we have about 40 to 50 students who are VSP'd, so it's exciting.
That is absolutely fantastic.
I'm sorry that I just sort of butt right in there and didn't let you kind of give a little bit more maybe of your bio and what your current student status is and what you're studying and working on and how you got involved with all of this.
Well, I'm an SRJC student of 2.5 years so far. I graduated from Summerfield Waldorf School and Farm, and I graduated high school really interested in organic waste management and really interested in composting, and I started building worm bins with my dad, and we went out and talked to different people and taught them about how to compost at their home, and we went to different schools and we started teaching students how to compost and breed in vermiculture. And so from there, as an SRJC student, I kind of felt lost, like how could I make a difference on a campus with, 37,000 students in total, and it's pretty, you kind of feel like you're just a silent little sheep, and it's easier to follow and be silent and just go to class day after day and not really do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So this semester, our new cafeteria, the Bertolini Student Center, got built, and the teachers came to a couple students, and there was word going around that they wanted students to kind of start an organic waste management resource recovery program.
Wow!
And so I teamed up with Cameron Williams, and we got together and we started forming ideas and started having tiny meetings, and then we started calling ourselves Students for Sustainable Communities, and what grew from 5 students is now up to probably 200 in total.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And so from starting a resource recovery program in our cafeteria, we made Green Squad t-shirts, and every free period we had, we would stand in front of our recycling bins and our trash and CRV bins and educate our students on what is CRV, what is recyclable, when it goes in the recycling bin, where does it go after that? And so we took our club members to North Bay Recycling to see that process, and then later this month we're taking them to the landfill and to Sonoma Compost to see that process. So after they're coming back from these trips, they have a little more information that they can share. And so after doing that project,
you're just on fire. It almost seems like that project with the cafeteria just sort of almost custom made for kind of what you want to study.
Yes. So it's right in line. And plus, I'm doing Waldorf teacher training too.
Oh, how wonderful!
And so I'm thinking though that my goal, besides being a teacher, will be later on to be an environmental lawyer, so that I can not only educate children but also be politically active as much as possible to get speak up for the environment and give her a voice. So,
Jessica, that is just amazing. It is just so exciting to hear what you are doing. So inspiring. Rebecca, you found a jewel here.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know, especially for, the topic kind of that you like to cover on your other shows.
Exactly.
And this young woman's kind of really the living, breathing, embodiment of a lot of positive things. And I also just really want to recognize you, Jessica, for, reaching out to the younger students that are in a couple years going to come, hopefully, to the Santa Rosa Junior College, and will be just that much more informed when they get there, and will hopefully continue on the great work that you've started now with 200 people. And I, 37,000 students, I don't know if people really get that. That's a small town. I mean, small town.
Yeah.
And each of those people goes home every day from the junior college. They are impacting and influencing the decisions in their households. That's 37,000 households. That's
right.
A lot.
Right.
It's really, it's huge.
It's huge.
And so it's also, you know, the biggest project is to try to reach out to each and every one of those and connect their passions to the environment. So finding a way to connect with the art students, the athletes, the math students, and showing them that they can use their passion in whatever they, you know, in whatever calling they have to save the environment. It's just finding that pinpoint that just, you know, lights, ignites that little fire inside of them and then makes them want to go off and, you know, bring others with them. That's the goal of our club, is to educate, to inspire, to lead, and to make our campus more alive and more organized and more politically active, and have the students feel like they have a stewardship and a responsibility for themselves and the environment.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yay. Well,
yay,
you know,
yay, for
you know,
sure. Mother Earth is so happy to hear you, Jessica.
Yeah, so I don't know if you – did you get to hear Mother Earth? She was a little
I did.
She was a little grumpy.
Yeah.
You know, she was a little grumpy, like, you know, stop it and stop the wars and, you know, just stop. And I think that she would be very happy. It sounds like you're taking positive healing action,
yes,
you know, for people on the planet. So I'm sure she's sending you a little blessing right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure. One of the things I just loved hearing you say, Jessica, that you are really sensitive to how each person's passion can be ignited. And so that is just so beautiful, because being aware of that, you are going to be able to reach people on a very deep level.
Oh, thank you.
I also want to let you know that every month, the third Saturday of the month, I have the Voice of Change Healing the Planet. And you and your students are always welcome to come and be a guest on the program. I really am passionate about bringing children and teens and young adults to the airways, because they do, just like yourself, you are the perfect example, have such passion and have such energy for this, and it's just beautiful. So know that that's a standing invitation.
Oh, well, thank you. We would love to do that and
excellent,
stay connected.
Oh, perfect, for sure.
And I wanted to say that, I mean, I will meet you pretty soon, Jessica, but is it your understanding that people are going to be able to stay overnight in the city council chambers?
Yes.
Amazing.
I want to string hammocks up or something. I think we should.
Yes, we should have a so for more information on that event, you can, there's a Facebook event page, and if you just type in 35-hour environmental forum and party, you'll get the whole agenda for the 35 hours and the places and locations that we will be at, and the materials that are, you know, requested that we bring with us, like a water bottle, a sleeping bag, just the necessities. And right now we're going to local businesses and asking them for food donations, and we're just, you know, trying to get the word out. And I know and we're planning on showing Awakening the Dreamer, and it's going to be a really fun event, but also it's going to be the first of many, so it'll be really exciting.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. And so to go to Facebook and type in 35-hour environmental party?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Oh, that is wonderful. What amazing work that you do. And you continue to go to study there, too, at the college.
Yes.
It sounds like you have so much, you know, so much going on that it would be hard to get time to really study.
Well, I'm a serious multitasker, so
excellent.
Every minute I'm doing a little bit of everything.
That is wonderful. Rebecca also mentioned that you might like to share maybe a past Earth Day experience that you've had. Can you recall any Earth Day celebrations that you might like to share with our listeners?
Well, we just had our first ever SRJC Earth Day. It was the 14th, this last Wednesday, and our club put it together, and we contacted local organizations, and we looked up eco music, and we had Gaia's garden come and cook for us, and we had all the clubs in our camp on our campus focus on the environment, but in their own way. So, like the math club had students guess how many plastic water bottles are consumed, and the California Politics Club had students come up with their idea for what they would want to change politically for the environment, to get passed. And in the and then chess, they were playing on a green checkered board, So all the clubs participated, and it was a really nice event because it brought students together, and it started bringing that ongoing communication between different students who would usually not talk to each other. And we had traditional medicinals donated tea, and we had guayaki tea. And so it was just a nice, fun initial party and an informational event. And we also showed the movie / documentary Crude, which is on the Chevron oil spills. And we had students sign petitions against the Chevron. So, doing events like that is one of our goals too. So maybe now we're thinking, since it's done, we maybe want to do one every other month if we can.
Oh, great. That would be wonderful. And, as I'm sitting here thinking about, the country, if this could be, perhaps you folks could be an inspiration to other junior colleges.
Yes.
Around the country to put on such events. What a leader you are up there in Northern California.
And then another thing I thought would be kind of fun for all of us to think about now, and you may have some thoughts right off that you could offer up, Jessica, but I think it's also really nice to acknowledge and recognize people that have helped shape us, and helped give
right.
us information and education and passion around the environmental issues that we are involved in. And I wonder if you have a couple people that or plants or animals or oceans or whatever entity comes to mind that you feel you've been really inspired by.
Wow, that's a deep question. It was probably, I would have to say, in sixth grade we went out to outdoor educational a week trip, and actually, I think it was in seventh grade. And anyway, we spent a week at Westminster Woods in Occidental and doing the ropes course and hiking. That was really my first time, like, immersed in nature, where I could really see erosion and learn about it. And I could see mushrooms growing right from the earth, and I could smell the earthy smell, and I could see the stars in the sky. And our guide, he called himself Half Dome, and he just awoke in my eyes just the beginning love for nature. And then for 11th and 12th grade, I went to Summerfield Waldorf, and the farming teachers there, Genevieve Loyler and Ronnie Sands, just helped, because before that I had gone to a technology, college prep high school, and basically we were 7 hours of homework every night and really college driven, and so I didn't really get time to play and be in nature. But then when I went to Waldorf, I got to farm and get dirty and learn how to compost and plant and see, the fruits of my labor, and just being in that and having that experience really, gave me the passion, like, okay, this is where I need to be. This is where I feel the most happiest and peaceful and the calling.
No, that's fabulous.
Just beautiful.
I wanted to throw out some names really quick. I'm not going to go into details about who these people are necessarily, but I just felt like it's really important, and they're not all people either. Just to say a shout out, to influences in my development. Definitely Al Gore, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring. James Hansen, who is a NASA scientist who's been ringing the bell on climate change and who's gotten arrested in Appalachia for fighting against coal mines. Reverend Billy. And then this great quote that I love, which is, it ain't green till the plants come in. And I have a lot of plant allies who've actually helped me physically with my health, you know. So I have to do a shout out to oats and Siberian ginseng and reishi mushroom and Shizandra berries. I think Santa Rosa City Council member Veronica Jacoby, it really walks the talk and bikes the talk. I really appreciate that in her. I love Greenpeace organization. I just feel like they are just holding the witness place, and they just do it. They've been doing it for decades, you know. I want to say really a thanks to my mother and my stepdad, who have really evolved with their own environmental passions and have solar hot water and solar and a Prius. And it's not just about that. They're also composting. It's not just about what you buy and if it's an eco-green product. It's also, what are you doing with your resources? And what are you doing with your waste? And, you know, are you making it available for food for some other system? So thank you to Rob and Debbie Railsback for their inspiration. And herb teachers, Donna and Gail, they know who they are. And Prince Charles, look him up. He is an eco guy. And then last but not least, the Caribbean Ocean.
Beautiful, beautiful.
So I don't know, Sharon, if you have any thoughts, too, on inspirational people, rocks, plants, mountains, rivers.
Right. I certainly agree. Rachel Carson's book, just such an inspiration to me. And Rebecca, too, you have been a tremendous inspiration to me. You are always there giving one idea after another, and you certainly, every time I have a conversation with you, you reignite it. It's something that I'm really passionate about, but my own work has taken me in a different direction. So you are that highlight and that spotlight that's always bringing me back to this. And basically, you have inspired this monthly program in addition to my weekly program. So
wow,
hats off to you, my dear. You really make it user-friendly. You know, you really do step at a time. And bringing Jessica on today has just been a tremendous, highlight. And That's my thoughts. I do have a question for Jessica. I've just moved into a new area in Ventura Keys, and we're on the channel. And I want to compost, and I was just wondering, how do you begin from scratch? We don't want flies around, and I have done this in the past, but each time it's like I'm in a different area. So this is really a shady area. Is it able to compost in a shady area?
Okay. Are you planning on doing it as an outside pile or in a container?
Oh, usually outside is what I have done in the past. I'm basically vegetarian, use lots of fruits and vegetables every day, and really want them to go back into the ground.
Perfect. Okay. Well, then I would make sure that since it's in a shady spot, you're really not going to have to worry about watering it as much.
Okay.
But I would make sure to keep enough carbon, so enough dry grass, newspaper, straw, rice straw, anything, you know, egg cartons, anything to combat the nitrogen, so your food scraps. So make sure that you want to have an equal half to half of carbon and nitrogen.
Okay, that's good to know. So that's half, like dry grass, you said, newspaper, straw, and egg cartons to go with half of your, like, fruits and vegetables, baby, basically.
Right. Right.
And you can just start that. Should I buy a bin to put this in, or can we do it on the ground? Do I need the worms?
So you can just do a pile on the ground if you want. You can take that. You want to clear the soil, make sure it's on, pull the weeds out, just have it a nice clear base so that the bacteria and the worms can penetrate it quickly and easily. Otherwise, also, if you want to, if it's just an outside pile with no bin, you want to make sure it's stacked and kind of like a lasagna. So when so you'll have one layer of green, one layer of brown, one layer of green, one layer of brown, probably till it comes about to your hips. And as long as it can be, sometimes they go 4 to 8 feet long, depending on your area.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's
I think the ones I've done before are usually about 3 by 3 is what it needs to work out. Uh-huh.
And then you want to use your garden fork or your pitchfork to put some air pockets in there so that
okay.
it doesn't get anaerobic and start smelling. Otherwise,
okay.
you can use a bin, and using a bin, you just want to be wary because it can dry up faster, and also it can get wet faster. So it's kind of the two extremes that you can experience. So you kind of want to play around until you find the right mixture and then get the balance.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I wonder, Sharon, if your city might have a program of giving people discounted prices on bins. A lot of cities do. I don't know. I don't even know if there's maybe a Master Gardeners program.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. I should look into it. One of the things when I was up in Northern California, we could actually put our fruits and vegetables into the composting bin that came around that they picked up on a weekly or every other week.
Right.
And down here, I am hearing that you are not supposed to be doing that.
Huh.
So I think that's another project that I really want to look into.
Yeah.
But I definitely will look into the bin, too. Well, that has been very helpful. I appreciate that. Any last-minute thoughts, Rebecca, and then we'll go to Jessica, and then just have about a couple minutes left.
Wow. Any last-minute thoughts? Just be outside. Go outside this week, really celebrate, take your shoes off, give her a hug, give Mother Earth a hug, give yourself a hug, give somebody else a hug.
Fantastic.
And help her celebrate, Let's move forward in the 21st century and be really kind and good to ourselves and the planet.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Jessica, any last minute thoughts for our listeners?
I have this favorite Chinese proverb that I'm going to tell you. If
yeah.
you are thinking a year ahead, sow seed. If you are thinking 10 years ahead, plant a tree. If you are thinking 100 years ahead, make people aware. By sowing seed, once you will harvest. By planting a tree, you will harvest tenfold. By opening the minds of people, you will harvest 100-fold.
Oh, that is beautiful. If you would send that to me, I will put it as a blog on the site.
I will.
Oh, that's just lovely. Oh, excellent. Ladies, thank you. This has been wonderful, and I invite you both back May 15th, Saturday from 5 to 6 p.m. You can come for 5 minutes or you can come for the hour. Bring people with you, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you both so much. Jessica, thank you so much. And Rebecca, thank you so much for bringing Jessica on along with Mother Earth.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right.
Until next time.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
What a wonderful hour with Rebecca Valentine and Jessica Jones, Melissa Weaver, and Mother Earth. If you would like to be in touch, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Sharon-Ann. That's Sharon-Ann, the voice of change healing our planet. And this program will air again on May 15th from 5 to 6 p.m. I also want to let you know about this week. I have a regular program every Thursday, and this week I'm on the program is Mark, just picking up my paper here, Mark Alden Johnson, and he is the author of I'm Up a Tree. This book is written in lyrical rhyming style, and it teaches children to resist peer pressure. We'll be discussing the importance of encouraging children to make their own decisions. That is on the Voice of Change, Raising Our Children, Our Future, from 5 to 6 o'clock on Thursday evening. I also want to close with just a little bit from the CD. It's actually Jeffrey John, and he is an outdoor educational specialist. And he has written some wonderful songs for children. This was Plastic Wrap. Enjoy, take care, and we'll talk to you next time. Jeffrey John.